before I really get into the depths of this particular text. A testimony is something that serves as evidence. You know, a person could say, well, I did this and I did that. But it carries way more weight when it's something they actually did. You know, a lot of people in this world, they live through the lies of others. And they seem to embrace, oh, so-and-so was doing this and I was right there with them. Maybe I was observing them. You see this in sporting events. People living through the athletes that are on the field or the track or whatever it might be. But there is nothing greater than a testimony that comes from a person that has actually followed through and done something. And so it serves as evidence. The writer said this, testimony in Hebrew means to do again. The reason there is so much power in them is because it is releasing what God has already done and setting him up to do it again. Amen. So I want us to think about this as we explore this subject of a testimony. I would like to first look at a few examples of testimonies that were given because of something that was done. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you can turn to John, the fourth chapter. There's a few verses I'm going to read there. And this particular passage is talking about the Samaritan woman, the one that Jesus met at the well, who came and he said, give me some water. And she asked if he had something to dip with. And then Jesus said, if you knew the water that I have, you would ask me for the water that I have. Yeah. And Jesus began to expose some things in her life. And she had never had that experience before. To have someone be able to discern the condition of her life. And you know what she did? She ran back home. Yeah. And you know what she said? I believe it's verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She asked him a question. See, what he did within her heart, she couldn't just keep to herself. She had to go tell somebody else. And she went over there to where she lived and she told all them people, come see this man because he's done something for me. Verse 30, it says, and they went out of the city and came unto him. Her testimony carried some power with it. It moved those other individuals to actually come over where she was and see what Jesus was all about. And then we'll drop down to the 39th verse. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed on his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Yes. You and I have a testimony to share. Yes. You and I can prompt other people to actually look into the Word of God. When they hear what God has done for you and I, they want to see what it is. They can already see there's a difference about you. You don't do what everybody else does in the world. And they get curious. Yes. Don't you think people get tired of living in sin? Yes. They do. Because it's on and on, just over and over. And they don't have control. And you know what? Most of them are looking for some control in their life. And Jesus has the answer. Yes. Yes. Come see this man. Her testimony prompted them to want Jesus to stick around a little while. And when he stayed for 2 more days, more people believed. Yes. And they had a testimony of their own. We don't believe just because of what you said, but we believe because we saw him and we heard what he had to say. It was genuine and it was real and it changed my heart. It changed your heart. That's what they was talking about. This was even before Jesus died, so his blood wasn't shed yet. His power was still great then, before he even went to the cross.
Yeah.
And it changed people's lives.
Yeah.
I want to look at another example in John the 9th chapter. This is one of the miracles that Jesus did. This was the young man that was born blind.
Yeah.
People were asking, why was he born blind? Did the parents sin? Did they do this? Did they do that? And they came to the conclusion, no, this is God's will.
Yeah.
He was born that way.
Yeah.
What if you cover your eyes and try to walk around? If I ask you tonight to stand up, cover your eyes, and walk out the door, how many of you would make it? Some of you might make it because you know the church. But I would guess that the majority of us would bump into something on the way. That's what it's like to not have sight. In your house, you may know where you are. You can go around in the dark. But go in somebody else's house and try that. What are you going to do? You're going to run into something. This man didn't have sight. So he was living his life without sight. Everything he did, he couldn't see. And here comes Jesus along the way. In verse 6, it said, and when he had thus spoken, this is Jesus, had made contact with him and gave him some instruction. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. What a great change.
Yes.
This man had a powerful testimony. And you know what? There were people around in that day and time that was trying to figure out what was wrong with Jesus healing the man. Instead of glorifying God and saying, thank the Lord, this young man who could not see can now see, they're trying to find fault. I want to read the 11th verse. This is them asking, well, where did you get your sight? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. Now, is that a powerful testimony?
Yes.
Could anybody say, no, you just imagining it. You just, it's in your mind that you can see. No, he said, I can see. And nobody could dispute his testimony.
Amen.
Do you know how many other people that had needs around him at that particular time that Jesus could have helped if they would have had a different frame of mind? All of his neighbors that had a question about what Jesus did for him, they could have got their needs met. Drop down to verse 19. Here's someone else asking him. The Pharisees. These were the righteous people. Thought they had it all. Still questioning this young man. How'd you get your sight? Do you see how redundant that is? When God does something for a person and they have a real testimony about it, there's nothing else to say but amen, praise the Lord.
Yes.
And here they ask him, saying, is this your son? Talking to the parents. Who ye say was born blind? Or maybe he wasn't born blind. Do you see how the devil was working with these people?
Right.
Trying to discount the blessing that he received?
Yes.
How then doth he now see? It don't take a genius to figure out that a miracle happened to this man.
Right.
And he was walking around like you and I and he could see everything.
Amen.
Now I got this picture in my mind. Someone born blind, all of a sudden now can see. Do you know what he has to explore? Now all of a sudden I can see everything. I can picture him going up and looking at trees and plants and all these things. Yeah. Maybe walking up to some horse or donkey. Oh, wow. Do you see the change in his life?
Yes.
This is what Jesus did for me. Here are these Pharisees doubting it.
Right.
If you observe just a little bit, you can see that he can see plain as day.
Amen.
Jesus didn't have heal his eyes. He didn't have to put on no glasses. Jesus gave him clear sight. His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind." Here's their testimony. Yes, he was blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. I don't understand how Jesus made him see. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age. Ask him. And he'll speak for himself.
Yes.
So I'm going to say it in our terms. Let me tell you again. Jesus healed my sight. Then I'm going to drop down to 23rd. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind, said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." Here they calling Jesus a sinner. This young man could have been real discouraged. But listen to what he said. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Now that's a testimony that everybody can get encouraged from. And if the Pharisees was wise enough, they could have got their blessing from Jesus. But sad to say, we know that they didn't. Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" You know, that's like straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. I need an explanation of exactly how he did it. What if we had people come along to us and say, you tell them I'm saved. The Lord has blessed me in this or blessed me in that. Exactly how did he do it? Do you know how redundant that sounds? It doesn't matter exactly how he did it. The fact is, he did it.
That's right.
And he answered them, "I've told you already. And ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again?" And then he put this one there. "Will you be his disciples?" That tells me that he was fully convinced of what Jesus did for him that day.
Yes.
Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, but he gave that man, I believe he gave him salvation and sight in the same time. For him to boldly proclaim this to these Pharisees, "You going to be his disciples too?" A change had taken place. I want to get another verse before we get into this 12th chapter of Revelations and 11th verse. 1 John 5 verses 6 through 11. I want to lay a foundation about the way God does things. 1 John 5 6 through 11. It says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood."
Yeah.
And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believed not of the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You know, we live in a world that argues the concepts of God all the time. Trying to, well, I don't think it says that. Well, I believe it says this. If the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit can agree in one, we should be just accepting it. What he put in the Word is exactly what it takes to make heaven your home. And he said, the life comes through his Son. So all these folks out there that believe that you can get saved some other way, there's other scriptures I could turn to that dispute that as well. Amen. He that cometh up any other way is like a thief and a robber. Right. Yeah. Jesus Christ has the answer. Yes. Now let's get into this 12th chapter and 11th verse. It said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to spend a little time on that. Sometimes people get too wise for their own good. God did not make salvation complicated. His Son went to the cross, laid his life down, allowed them to do all manner of things to him, and he rose in 3 days. And the blood that he shed is still just as powerful today as it was back then. Amen. And it'll save anybody in this world to the uttermost. Yes, there's no question of what it can do in a person's life. Right. And people, I don't think it's going to work for me. If you humble enough, it will work for you.
Yes.
It worked for me. I can tell you my own testimony about the things that God changed in my life when he saved me. Broke the power and the spirit of anger. Broke the power and spirit of bad language. Set a course for me that was different than what I had in mind. This is my testimony to you. There are times I battle with the devil. He would come every morning before I'd wake and start working on me. And I went to the Lord about that thing. I said, Lord, every single morning the devil's bothering me. Now, almost every single day upon awakening, there's a song that's coming out of my heart, and the enemy's nowhere to be found. He can do the same for you today. That's what the blood of the Lamb can do. The brother said last night, our country needs a good dose of the Lord. I'm going to add to it, our country needs a good dose of salvation and sanctification. That's what it needs. It'll change a whole lot of things. It'll change people's attitudes. It'll change their very spirit. It'll change their intentions and thoughts. That's what it can do. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And then it said the word of their testimony. Somebody that has a real experience with Jesus Christ is going to have a testimony that the Spirit will witness to. Why do you think you go places and you're saved and you don't say anything and people around you start apologizing for the language that they're speaking? Or the things that they do. This is what we have. We have the power of the blood of Jesus within us. And we need to have a testimony that backs it up. There's many here today that have been saved a long time, and they can tell you that God can keep you. No matter what condition the world gets into, He can keep you. Your testimony is going to carry weight, just like the Samaritan woman. Come see Him. I tell you tonight, come see Jesus. He'll make a change in your life. He'll give you joy in your heart and peace. He'll cause you to be able to stand up, even if you have to stand by yourself.
Yes, that's right.
Some people are real susceptible to peer pressure. Yes. I got to be with the crowd. You don't have to be with the crowd. Right. When Jesus is right there with you, you are never lonely.
Right.
There are many of you here that can testify to things that will lift up people's hearts. Get to put a hope in their heart. If He did that for you, He can do that for me.
Amen.
Jesus wants to do it for you.
Yes.
He wants to bring you to a wealthy place spiritually. Too many people in this world are spiritually broke and don't have what God has for them.
Amen.
And He wants to give them something. He wants to give them a testimony that can affect other people around them. You ever seen, I remember when I was in school, the Lord just brought this to my mind. We were at the park playing basketball. And there was a young man that had a girl chasing him because she was going to fight him. She was bigger than he was. And I don't know what happened between them. But I observed this young man dodge all of her hits, and he would not swing at her one time. And you know what that told me something? He had some good upbringing.
Yes.
I wonder what was in his heart that he wouldn't even hit back, wouldn't defend himself. He just kept moving around, and she'd swing, and she'd miss. She got him a couple times, but he never hit her back. And that reminds me of the scripture. When He smites you on the left cheek, turn up. Can you do that in the, as a normal human being? Can you turn the other cheek? It's impossible for the most part. Unless you recognize that this is a disadvantage to me to try to retaliate. Most humans, they're going to swing.
Yeah.
They're going to ball their fist up, and they're going to throw back. When I was not saved, I was that person.
Yes.
I didn't start fights, but I sure finished them. But that's because Jesus wasn't in there. Get mad. I'm babysitting. I'm going to use this example again. Sorry, brother. I'm babysitting my brother. Mother had gone somewhere, and he upset me. And I knew I couldn't hit him. So in my rage and my anger, I put a hole in the wall with my fist. Who needed Jesus? I needed Jesus. And I thought about it after I did it. It's like, what did I do that for? And see, that's what people do that don't have Jesus. What did I do that for?
Right.
Yeah. That didn't even make no sense. Now I got to go fix it. You think my dad was going to fix it? He said, no, you did it. You fix it. And you know, that didn't change. Still had the anger issues. But then one day Jesus.
Amen.
One day Jesus came into my heart and the anger was gone.
Thank you, Lord.
And people that I worked with, they would look at me in trying situations and I'm calm.
I'm not raising my voice. And they're like, you different. And I said, let me tell you how I used to be. And I gave them my testimony. And they said, no, that was not you. I said, yes, it was. Mm-hmm. I said, when Jesus came in my heart, he took the anger away. Amen. That's a testimony that you and each one of us has something that Jesus specifically did for you when you got saved and you can tell somebody about
Amen.
It.
Amen.
When he's made a change in you, people are going to notice. You can't hide under the bushel. Matthew 5 and 16, what does it say? Mm-hmm. You got it? Read it, please.
Let your light so shine
before men,
that they may
see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
You know that people will testify for you?
True.
Yeah.
After they hear your testimony or they observe you for a while, they'll say, that brother or sister, they're good people. That's what they say.
Uh-huh.
They're good people. They won't do you wrong.
Yeah.
They won't even curse you out. And you'll find after a while when they get in trouble. What do you say? Go ahead.
They'll call you for prayer.
They're going to call you for prayer. That's right. Because they know you have a contact with God and you can get over to God and help them out in their situation. And your testimony can be, God hears my prayer and he wants to hear yours.
That's right.
And if people get a hold of Christ, they'll find such a blessing that when things bother you, you can get on your knees and say, Lord, this is what's going on. And it's bothering me and I need some help.
Yeah.
And then you can come along after praying that prayer and God answers it. You can tell somebody else. The power of a testimony is great. And when God designed the kingdom of heaven, he structured it this way. It says, overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony.
Amen.
We don't have to be someone that's all outgoing. I'm going to tell everybody in the world. You need Jesus. My family got me a t-shirt for my birthday. It says, y'all need Jesus. And I was laughing at that. I said, if I wear that, it might be offensive to some people because I need Jesus too.
Yeah.
We all need Jesus.
Yes.
He's got the answer for everything in life.
Yes.
So it only makes sense to go to him for what I need.
Amen.
And when people see and hear what God has done for you, there's a part of man that don't want to miss out.
Yes. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard for people to, and I'm going to use this example in this age. It's hard for people to put their phone down and not see what's going on. You go in a restaurant, you go in the store, what are people doing? The phone. I wish they would do the word of God like that. I wish every time they wanted to find out something, let me get something from the Lord. Lord, what scripture do you have for me today? What song do you want me to sing today? You know, there's times that I've been in the store and the Lord blessed my soul in the store and I find myself singing in the store. And I used to thought that was strange because I'd go places with Brother Kimball and that's what he was doing. And when I was younger, I was like, what's going on now? It was a common thing for him. But you know, I find the same thing happens to me.
Amen.
When God showers down a blessing on you, it don't matter where you are.
That's right.
It floods your soul and it's got to come out.
Yes.
and somebody's going to hear it. There's going to be a praise the Lord and a bless God, and somebody's going to hear it. There's going to be a thank you, Lord. Should be on our lips every time we do something. Thank you, Lord. You helped me get it done. This is the power of our testimony. And then other people see you and they're, you know what? I need to start asking Lord for help.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the example of my truck, but I learned that the hard way. I'm going to say that. Not asking the Lord for help. I learned the hard way. So now it's a daily practice. Everything I do, this is my testimony to you. Everything that I do, I ask the Lord for help.
Thank the Lord.
And you know, my life is blessed. The Lord has blessed me through so many situations that I didn't even, there's particular jobs that I have sometimes. Don't know how to do some of the stuff that I do. But the people like the work that I do, and they ask me to do stuff that that's not even part of my business.
Right.
And you know what I do? Lord, so-and-so asked me to do such and such. I don't know how to do it. And the Lord comes along and he says, do this, this, and this. And then I step back from it. And when it's all done, you know what I say?
Thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Because I sure didn't do it myself.
Yes.
If you and I will acknowledge and recognize the truth of God's word, there is nothing that any of us can do without his help.
That's right.
Even if we don't acknowledge it, God has helped us with everything.
That's right.
When's the last time you breathed on your own? It's automatic, isn't it?
Yes.
You ever wake up and you're not breathing? You gasp? That happens to some people. God gives the breath.
Yes. Yes.
He wakes the person up so they start breathing again.
Yes.
You and I should be thanking the Lord for the breath that he gives us every single day. It's a testimony. Those people that are out there in the world that you are around, you need to testify to them the basic things that God does for you.
Amen.
Because it will get the wheels turning in their mind.
Yes.
This man or this woman, they're always thanking the Lord. We can't do it without him.
That's right.
You go outside and say, I think I'm going to fly today. It'll never happen, will it? Unless you use some apparatus. God didn't intend for you to fly. He gave you two legs and 2 feet.
Yes.
You ever stumble over stuff and fall flat on your face?
Yes.
That little humbling that reminds you, God gave me the ability to walk.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for getting me from point A to point B.
That's
right. Amen. We hop in these cars. And in this particular area, there's a lot of cars. And we go here, and we go there, and we go everywhere. And do you ever thank the Lord?
Yes. Amen.
Lord, thank you. I made it home. I made it to work. Wherever I went, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It's by the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And our testimony, these simple testimonies can change people's lives. I want to get 2 Timothy 1 and 8. If you have it, go ahead and read it, please.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
I like this that the Apostle Paul put in his instruction to Timothy. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony. You know, the world wants to shame us.
Yeah, right.
Because we live for God. You know, they say Christians are weak.
Right.
That's what they say. But you know who's really weak? I mean, we could really be aggressive in a response to that statement. Why are you giving in to so much sin? Who's weak? Be not ashamed of testimony. God has given you a testimony of victory in your life every single day. Be not ashamed of it. This world needs to be convicted in their heart because they have not accepted Jesus. Jesus does not make it difficult for you to come to him. You humble your heart and call on his name. He will save your soul.
That's right.
And he will give you a testimony of that salvation.
Amen.
And he'll establish you in the way. He'll teach you how to do things and how not to do things. You and I don't need always someone to tell us what to do.
Right.
There's a Holy Ghost that's available to you and I that Jesus wants us to have. He probably wants us to have it more than we realize that we need it. And you know what that Holy Ghost does? It'll tell you what to do and not to do. That's what where the liberty is in salvation. There might be something that causes you a problem that don't cause somebody else a problem.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost will say, you shouldn't do that.
Amen.
You know, I've had the Holy Ghost tell me, that's enough as far as eating. Don't eat this. It's not good for your body.
Yeah.
And what I have to do, I have to listen. That's the testimony. How can I be healthy? Listen to the Holy Ghost. How can Sister Doris be sitting here at the advanced age that she is? Because Christ has helped her. She has a great testimony. She's probably been saved longer than I've been alive. Is that a blessing?
Yes.
The scripture said, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. How many of us are 300 years old? He walked with God longer than we've been alive.
Yeah.
We have to put ourselves and our parent and our grandparent together to even catch up to him. That's a testimony that he had. Nobody has an excuse. I can't live safe. Jesus has made a way. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I want to address this last part of this verse. It said, and they love not their lives unto death. You know what that tells me? We got to be serious about it.
Amen.
When the early morning church was established, those that believed in Christ went through some persecution. The enemy was using the Roman Empire at that time to try to squelch what was spreading as this kingdom of heaven had come into the earth. As Jesus began to work, and after he left and the Holy Ghost came for his disciples, they began to work. And they began to go throughout the world, and people were believing left and right.
Yes.
I believe there's a scripture that said 3,000 were saved at one time.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know what? They were willing to give their life for it. You and I had better be willing to give our life for it because it means that much. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. We don't know what's coming. We don't know how our country will change. And some of us younger ones that are in here, you may face the same things.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And you
had better stake your life on it. I stake my life on a testimony that God has given unto me.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. When God prompts you, all of us are around people that some of us will never see.
Yeah.
The majority of conversions, I believe I could say this, majority of conversions from people getting saved sometimes happen outside of church.
Yes.
Interaction with someone that they've observed and watched over a span of time, and they see a consistency in their life, and all of a sudden, I want what you got.
Yes. Amen.
That's what that testimony means. It's not always something we say, but it's how we live.
Yes.
That's right.
We can live a life that's a testimony.
Yes.
It don't take very long for many of us to be around people that are not saved, and they say something.
True.
Either you're different, or some of you can call, say you're old-fashioned. You know I'm happy old-fashioned. Because it works. I don't need to conform to the world's standards.
That's right.
Because I know that the standards that I live by is going to land me where I want to go.
Yes.
And that's the heaven.
Yep.
And so you and I are going to be around people at work, at school, in the store. And when God wants somebody to see your life, he points you out.
Yes.
You remember Satan come over there when God was meeting with the sons of God? And God said, "Where you been, Satan?" He just rhetorically asked, and he already know where he was.
Yes.
He was looking for somebody to try. And God himself said, "Have you considered my servant Job?"
Yes.
Can God say that about you? Can God say, "Have you considered sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so?" And give a testimony of our life. This is what we must consider. The world in which we live, they need to see people that love God and live for him regardless of the age.
That's right.
People that are not swayed and moved by the changing ideals and principles of this world. People that have a testimony that Jesus Christ has come into my life, cleaned me up, and set me on a course for heaven, and I'm not turned to the right or the left.
Amen.
May God help us. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and the love of their lives unto death. That's what it means. All the way. Jesus' blood has not changed.
Amen.
It hasn't been diluted. It hasn't been used up. There is plenty of it to help you and I along the pathway of life.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.